Welcome to the Trade News Hour with AFL Exchange for Repco. Expert car service you can rely on. Visit repcoservice.com. And Rheem. Install a Rheem. Australia's number one in hot water.
It's just starting all to heat up now. Good afternoon. Hello. Welcome to the AFL Exchange on Trade Radio. My name is Mitch Cleary. Cal Toomey is in Queensland and Riley Beveridge in the studio. Plenty to get through over the next hour or so. Good afternoon to you, Rolls.
Good afternoon, Micho. Been in a bit of a holding pattern for the first couple of days, but it looks like we're starting to get the balls moving on a couple of different trade options. So hopefully a fair bit to chat about over the next hour or so. Looking forward to taking some calls as well, as always. But starting to get interesting in the trade period, Mitch.
It is. What do you think is the biggest thing that has to happen between now and Friday? Because free agency opens on Friday. Still a few up in the air. What do you think is a big watch between now and then?
I think Isaac Smith has to let a couple of clubs know what he's doing, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got contract offers on the table from virtually everyone, it seems, and he's not letting anyone know what his plans are. So Hawthorn has a two-year offer in front of him. Melbourne believed to have a three-year offer. As you've said a couple of times, Micho, you'd think that maybe Geelong could still be in the hunt, given that he might have been waiting just to see what the Cats, waiting to see when the Cats season was over, whether or not he might move there as well. So a few clubs in that picture for Isaac Smith. I think it's about time he needs to make a decision. And I think he's probably the big one leading into free agency opening on Friday.
Cal Toomey has been across the Jack Higgins situation for some time and feels like that one's just starting to move a little bit. Good afternoon to you, Cal.
G'day, Micho and Rolls. Hope you're well down there. Yeah, it's an interesting one, the Jack Higgins situation, because we've obviously seen over a period of time that he's been out of that Richmond lineup. So clearly now he's at a point where a trade is potentially going to be facilitated. A year to go in his contract, and it'll be just interesting to see where he lands.
Plenty to get through on the Tigers. We might just take a call off the top. Alex is with us in Ringwood, wants to chat about a couple of Tigers before we get into our questions. Alex, kick us off.
Hi, boys. How are we going?
Well, thank you.
I was just wondering about Nathan Broad and Derek Agumelo-Smith, both out of contract. I was wondering as well if Broad, you know, with three premiership medals, if that makes any difference to his value.
That's a good question. I think other clubs will have known what he was capable of before that flag. It can only help, but we learnt during the season that Gold Coast had inquired about him and then maybe moved their thoughts towards Oleg Markov. Maybe the Suns come back in now. There's a bit of talk getting around on that one. So I think as it sat last week heading into the grand final, my read on it was that Nathan Broad was still awaiting a contract offer from Richmond as to where he sat for next season. He's a bit like Brody Mychick, the way I look at this, is mature age player, comes in at 22, 23 years of age. Mychick was even older, but this is his last contract to make, you know, some bang for his buck in his AFL career. So the way I look at this is, yes, he will probably be able to get more elsewhere, but what point do you put on loyalty? He's now a triple premiership player. Like we saw with Brandon Ellis, it might be a good time for him to leave.
Yeah, agreed. And on Derek Agumelo-Smith as well, really good season and promising signs that he showed throughout the year. Obviously, he had that game against North Melbourne where he actually got Brownlow votes. And I think that was an indication of just what he can add to a football club, whether or not it's at Richmond, whether or not he's willing to bide his time at Richmond, because we know he plays a similar role to a lot of players there. If he's willing to bide his time and sort of be patient, wait for an opportunity, or if he wants a crack now and wants to play the club full time in 2021.
Josh is on the IMAR Insurance open line as well. We'll stick with the Tigers theme. Good afternoon to you.
How are you guys?
Well, thanks.
Good to hear. I'm just looking to ask a question about the Marlon Pickett impending contract. So obviously, you know, his whole story is pretty remarkable, to say the least. And from all accounts, he's been incredibly valuable asset for them off-field. You know, he's a very likable, popular figure and suits their culture, as well as the obvious on-field efforts. Given that despite some inconsistency this year, but I mean overall a much higher output versus his contract value, what do you think would be a fair compensation for the impending two-year extension on the table for him?
In terms of what his dollars would be for next season at Richmond?
Yeah, I think a two-year extension period seems to be a bit of a lock, but the value of the contract over that period.
Oh, I don't think it would be much more than AFL average. So the AFL average in 2019 sat at around $400,000 for players who played games. So I don't think it would be much more than that, if that at all. I think there's a loyalty factor in this. Don't forget, he's coming off pretty minimal money. He would have been on $80,000 prorated in his first year of AFL footy. Then this season would have got a little bit of a bump when you add that in with his match payments, but and then, of course, taken out with the whole COVID situation. So for a player like Marlon Pickett, in my opinion, probably sits at around $200,000 to $300,000 for his deal for next season. That's where I see it. Well, we'll kick things off with our first question to Riley. A number of players without deals for next year. I've got it at about 130, 135 players without contracts for next season. Who are the best players without a deal right now?
A lot of work to do then for a lot of clubs and a lot of players. Best players without a deal. A player we spoke about yesterday, Steph Martin. Obviously, without a contract, might get squeezed out of Brisbane. We heard David Noble on Trade Radio yesterday morning say that. I find Matt Kennedy's situation at Carlton really interesting. A player that they paid a pretty big price to get from GWS a couple of years ago. I think it was pick 28 they parted with to get Kennedy to the club. Obviously, been in and out of the side. To my understanding, he's got a one-year deal on the table from the Blues, but just deciding what to do next with his situation. Jed Anderson at North Melbourne.
Yeah.
I think the Sid Barker medal's on tonight. I think he's someone who's probably going to feature pretty prominently in that alongside Jai Simkin. I think he will re-sign at North Melbourne. I don't think there's going to be too many worries or concerns there for Kangaroos fans, but someone who's actually managed to hold down a pretty consistent role at the club over the last couple of years since he moved from Hawthorn. He's really found his feet there, wins a lot of the footy, is able to act defensively as well. So I think he'll get a deal and it'll be richly deserved when he does. And just the last one, a bloke we just spoke about, Nathan Broad. There wouldn't be too many triple premiership players in the past who have had to wait this long for a contract, and players who have been really ultra consistent in premiership seasons. He's done that three times now, and I think he's going to get a contract from somewhere, and I'm sure Tiger fans will be hoping it's at Richmond.
We even he even got some North Smith votes on the weekend, Nathan Broad. Well, sort of, when it comes to the Jaden Short. A couple of other players, Quinton Arkell at Geelong hasn't received an offer. He's one of the 14 players at Geelong without a contract for next season in front of him. So a big watch on what happens there because, 14 players out of contract. There's a number of those with contracts in front of them, but he's one of the players that hasn't been offered a deal for next season. Braden Ham at Essendon and then Mitch Brown at Melbourne came across as a delisted free agent, hasn't got a deal for next season. Actually polled Brownlow votes in his last game of the season against his former side.
Just a quick one on Brown. Were you surprised with how long he had to wait at Melbourne to get an opportunity this year? I mean, when he came into the side, he actually played pretty well and was almost gave them an option that they'd lacked for so long throughout the season.
Yep. And I felt that, they tried Braden Pruce in attack at times. Luke Jackson was there. I can see why they're going with Luke Jackson to continue that role, but the Mitch Brown one made a bit more. I thought he would have played a few more games.
Can I ask you a question? So say Mitch Brown doesn't get a contract from Melbourne and he is to find a new home in 2021. We've got to do a question at some point on Exchange about the best four club players in the competition.
Yes.
We did three club last year and it went off. We've got to do the best four club if Mitch Brown can add to that list.
Scotty Cummings, if you're listening, give us a call. 1300 23 55 48. Taking all of your calls over the next hour here on the Trade Exchange for expert car advice. You can rely on visit repcoservice.com and Ream. Accept nothing less than Australia's best installer Ream. A quick break, plenty more up after this.
A trade news update for Lumo. Lumo's ultimate power draw rewards loyal Vic residential customers. Ends November 29th. T's and C's apply.
One of those players we spoke about before the break was Jed Anderson, out of contract right now with North Melbourne. As I saw it a couple of weeks ago, it was all heading the right way that he was about to re-sign and stay at Arden Street, but we know that things have changed at the Roos. Just wanted to hear a bit from Matthew Lloyd yesterday talking about the club that should go after Jed Anderson.
Go for Jed Anderson from North Melbourne.
I could not agree more. Oh. He's done bits for my fantasy. He is a bloody cheat.
He is as tough as nails, and I heard that maybe I heard it somewhere a few weeks back that he hasn't got a contract yet. He's just sorting through it. Whatever, I'm not sure what's going on, but he is someone.
Yeah, he's tackling front and back. He really
he's a bull. Absolute bull in the right environment. I think that he could be the perfect fit for Carlton.
Riley, you're across the Blues more than anyone. How do you see that? Because they do need some inside support for Patrick Cripps. Is he the right man?
It's intriguing in the sense that, I don't know if you remember when he left Hawthorn, but the two clubs going hardest for Jed Anderson were North Melbourne and Carlton.
Okay.
So I know that's a long time ago. List management team has changed. Virtually the entire football department has changed. just whether or not that interest in the Blues remains a few years on. Look, it wouldn't be the worst sort of stopgap fill. I actually think Carlton's issues in the midfield more relate to their spread. I don't think they necessarily lack big-bodied ball winners. I think that's exactly what Setterfield, Cripps, Curnow are.
Matt Kennedy hasn't even got an offer.
Exactly right. But what's interesting on the Jed Anderson front is we know they went after Jack Graham. We know they went hard for Jack Graham, offered him a contract. He said no, he stayed at Richmond. But that to me says that Carlton are interested in someone in that mould.
Okay.
Jed Anderson is in that Jack Graham mould, that hard in and under ball winner. And all we've heard from Carlton for the last couple of weeks has been that, yes, they are after a third target to add to Zach Williams and Adam Saad, but it's not someone in that blue chip pay bracket. It's someone beneath that. So Jed Anderson does fit the mould in a few categories potentially for the Blues.
That was a news update. All thanks to Lumo Energy. You deserve a break with Lumo Energy. Now, for the avid listeners of this show, most would listen just for Cal, I would say. And you might have felt a fair bit of lack of Cal in that first segment. We're having a few tech issues, but we've tracked him down. He's on the line. Cal, come in.
I think they listen to you, Mitcho, and you, Rolls, not me. That's a couple of issues today, but that's okay. We'll work through them.
Just firstly, in the Jack Higgins scenario, you've been following it as close as anyone. Where does it sit right now with him and Richmond?
Well, I don't think he plays there next year, but it's going to have to take a reasonable trade deal to make that happen. He's got a contract for next year with the Tigers. He was a first-round pick in 2017. It's not as if they've fallen out of love with him. He's played 10 games this year. He probably just got overtaken a little bit by Jake Arts, I guess, in one of those positions late in the season and lost his spot in the lead-up to the finals. He was injured as well in the lead-up to the finals with a calf injury, but he was banging down the door of the senior side, playing in those scratch matches, blitzing, kicking bags of 4 and 5. I watched a couple of those games in parts, and he was clearly one of the better players in those games every time they ran out on the field. So, yeah, I think he does move, but it's just a matter of where now. I mean, St Kilda has been strongly linked, and that was put to them a month ago and very strongly denied, so that would be a bit of a change of heart if that does come through. Don't believe Carlton is in there for him, so... look, I think he's definitely a valuable player for a lot of clubs out there because of his hard running power, and he does that. He sees himself as a midfielder, so not a forward, but a midfielder, and that's where I think he'd be looking to see what opportunities arrive for him in the next part of his career.
Yeah, that St Kilda midfield's going to be stacked, but they can only do with extra class, and he is definitely that. Now, Cal, we asked before the break some players who interest us that don't have contracts right now. Any that pick up for you? Because I know you're across the Essendon Footy Club really closely. Marty Gleeson is one for me at that club, and there's a few others without deals at the Bombers.
Yeah, I know I heard you mention Braden Ham. It's still a surprise to me as well that he's out of contract. I think that would have been a really easy extension for them at pretty low money as well, given he's just a later pick who's played some reasonable footy in his first couple of years at the club. Jaden Laverty has a contract offer in front of him, so I think he most likely stays at the Bombers. You mentioned a couple of the other guys. Marty Gleeson, free agent with a trigger extension available to him. That's probably the way it ends up going, but he's allowed to go and look and see if there will be any extra offers out there and interest for him who might offer him a little bit more security going forward. So there are a couple of the main ones. And then Jacob Townsend, of course, as well. He's one of these players who, over probably throughout his whole career at the Giants and then Richmond and now at the Bombers, has had to wait until later in the piece to get to the point where he can know what's going to happen next year and been on one-year deals and rookie deals and these type of things. So that's probably the way it goes again with Jacob Townsend leading into the end of the trade period.
All right, Carl, I know you're big on these players, the ones who got better at their second club. But Riles, kick us off. Who are the players who went from one club to another and got better? And keen for some response here on social media, at Trade Radio, at AFL Exchange on Twitter. We're even on Instagram at AFL Exchange. But keen to get your take on the players who got better at their second club.
Patrick Dangerfield. I know that's a pretty obvious one, but he was a great player at Adelaide and he's taken his game to a new level, I think, since he got to Geelong. In terms of some of the sort of lesser known ones, Jack Steele's an obvious candidate that was never going to crack into that GWS midfield, but he's now a runner up in the Brownlow medal, won the best and fairest at St Kilda this year, had a really big impact. Jarman Impey is another one who probably didn't have everything go his way at Port Adelaide, but he's moved to Hawthorn. Probably would have been All-Australian in 2019 if it wasn't for that ACL injury.
Yep.
Can play a number of really important roles for them. Tom Mitchell, another one who went to Hawthorn and has gotten better. He was a good player at Sydney, but he's obviously a Brownlow medal winner now. Toby Nankervis.
Yes.
Triple premiership player again. They don't grow on trees, so his ability to mould himself into a number one ruck at Richmond, I don't think anyone really expected that of him when he moved from Sydney.
What about Adam Sard?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Adam Sard from Gold Coast to Essendon. You mentioned the Hawthorn guys, Rolls. There's heaps of them, isn't there? Josh Gibson from North to Hawthorn, Jack Gunston from Adelaide to Hawthorn, Elliot Yeo from Brisbane to West Coast. I think everyone probably thought that Yeo was going to be a pretty good player when he was part of that go-home five at the end of 2013 with the Lions, but he's gone to heights that probably few thought he could reach. And even Zach Tui from Carlton to Geelong, I think he's a far better player at the Cats than he was at the Blues. And look, I know this is stretching the topic a little bit, but Jared Lyons from his third club has managed to be a far better player than at his previous two, from Adelaide to Gold Coast and then to Brisbane, has clearly taken his game up a fair few notches since joining the Lions.
You mentioned Zach Tui there, another interesting one who might have got better at his third club, who actually went from Carlton to Geelong at a similar time. Do you reckon Lockie Henderson's played his best footy at the Cats across his three clubs?
It's a good question. I think it's not poles apart. I think he was pretty solid at the Blues. What do you reckon, Cal, on that one?
Yeah, he's been solid. We know that he was obviously out of the Lions pretty early in his career, wasn't he, as part of that Brendan Vivola trade? I would say that his best footy has probably come in the latter stages of his career. And this season, Mitch, I mean, what he was able to do to revitalise his career this year and get back into that side as, you know, someone who was off the list towards the end of last year was a remarkable feat and to be a pretty important player for them. So, yeah, he has been a player who, across his three clubs, has probably peaked at the final one.
Off Twitter, we're getting plenty of nominations at Trade Radio or at AFL Exchange. You can find us. Dan Butler had an awesome year at the Saints and was in All-Australian conversation. He's definitely got better. Eddie Betts got better at the Crows. Lachie Neal is an obvious one. Sam Doherty at the Blues. But two that I want to mention are two AFL Exchange favourites. Farron Ray, he got better, you would argue, at his second club and maybe tailed off at his third a touch as he was getting on when he went to the Roos. But what about Dougal Howard, Cal? Dougal Howard's got better at the Saints and he's top three in the BNF this year.
Jeez. This time last year, Dougal Howard was in every question on every show you did, Mitch. But look, and he probably didn't end his 2020 campaign in the type of fashion that the rest of his season was played in with that performance against Tom Lynch and the Tigers. But yeah, he was a good pickup, wasn't he? And probably to the point where, Port Adelaide now are looking and saying, well, can we get more key defensive stocks? And that's where their interest in Alia lies, because they do have a bit of a hole in that bracket of players.
Just another one before we get to our next segment. Sean Higgins, you would argue, probably got better and more consistent at North Melbourne when he moved from the Western Bulldogs. He was always had the talent and just had a few injury concerns at Witten Oval, but he's definitely become a consistent player. And now, as we know, headed to the Geelong Footy Club on a two-year deal. But before all of that, time for our next segment. It is Who Says No? Cal, kick us off on this one. Port Adelaide gets Orazio Fantasia. Essendon gets pick 26. Who says no?
Essendon will say no just because it's Essendon, I think. But look, I think it's actually a pretty good deal from Essendon's perspective. So I think Port Adelaide in the end would say no to this, and they'd push for one of their other picks, pick 31 or pick 39, to get this deal done and over the line. So I think from this perspective, Port Adelaide would say no.
Rolls?
I've got it down as Essendon. I think it's a pretty fair trade at the end of the day, but I think if anything, under contract value is probably a bit more than pick 26. Can play good footy, hasn't probably done that in the last couple of years, but I think Essendon at the end of the day. But in saying that, I mean, what realistically can they get? Can they get pick 26 and Riley Bonner, and maybe that makes it a bit more palatable for the Dons? Maybe, I don't know.
Riley Bonner this year's steak knives. We might have to do a question tomorrow on the best steak knives that have gone through in history. The only thing this year, Cal, with pick 26 is that is likely to get pushed back to, you know, early 30s, isn't it, with these academy bids that are going to come?
Potentially, but when picks do go up the order, some do slide back as well, Mitch. So there's an ability for those picks in the middle part of the draft to actually move up a little bit because other picks are moving back behind them, and it's very complicated and on the move and on the fly during the draft. And that's why we like it. It's so fluid on draft night now, but it's not necessarily going to get pushed back five or six spots at that point because some other picks will disappear as other bids are matched. But that is something they have to think about too, Port Adelaide, in what they do with their bidding situation this year, given they have Lachie Jones coming through the draft, who looks like being a top 15 pick, and also Tarik Skofield, who will probably join the club as a later pick under the father-son rule. So, yeah, I think 31 they'd probably be pushing for, and that's where I'm coming from in saying no from Port Adelaide's perspective. I think 31 would be the pick that they'd like to get that one done, to get Fantasia over the line.
Mitcho, you mentioned then a question on steak knives. I don't know how we forgot this. Players who got better at their second club. Jai on Instagram says Jack Crisp.
Yeah.
Of course.
Steak knives as well.
Yes, exactly. So he's an obvious one, I reckon.
He's become one of the most consistent players in the AFL, Jack Crisp.
I think he was the number two ranked general defender in the entire competition this year, according to champion data, Jack Crisp. So it goes to show just how important he is to that Magpies backline.
All right, this is the Trade Exchange. All thanks to Repco for expert car advice you can rely on. Visit repcoservice.com. And for Ream, accept nothing less than Australia's best. Install a Ream, taking all of your calls after the break, 1300 23 55 48. More after this. You're listening to the AFL Trade Exchange Hour here on Trade Radio, 1300 23 55 48 to get involved. Braden's been hanging on for a long time in Ballarat, wants to chat about the Bombers' key forwards. Braden, good afternoon.
Hey guys, just reading on Josh Eyre last night. Is Josh Eyre and Harrison Jones a forward line Bombers could build around, or do we still need to look for another option maybe in the draft?
Cal Toomey is the man best placed to that. Cal, how do you see those two shaping up?
Harrison Jones had an injury-interrupted first season at the club, but certainly can move up the ground and is a running type of key forward. Not a real contested mark sort of guy and a big goal kicker. Certainly hasn't been at under-18 level, so we'll need some help in that regard. Josh Eyre obviously performed really well at last week's country NAB AFL draft combine. 197 centimetre prospect, pretty strong marking, can kick a few goals, but looks like mainly being a later pick at this year's draft. It would have been really interesting to see how he went this year, but given the restrictions in Victoria, wasn't able to take the field. So looks like being a likely later pick. They've also got Cody Brand, who they'll get first access to under NGA rules. He's a key defender who's probably going to go a little bit earlier in the draft than Josh Eyre. So a couple of tools coming through, though, but something to work with. But it'll take a while before those guys can be holding down a forward line at Essendon, I would have thought.
Thanks for your call, Braden. A few more players that got better at their second clubs. Taylor Adams, better at the Pies. He just won the best and fairest. Jared Waite got better at the Roos. Do you agree with that, Riles?
Yep. And Sean Higgins was another one that got better at North Melbourne, I reckon.
Jeremy Howe, better going from Melbourne to Collingwood. He's now one of the star backmen in the competition. And Josh Jenkins, well, he was at Essendon for a short time, went to the Crows, played in the grand final and was a mainstay in that forward line. So you could argue that he got better as well. And Riley, just lastly, a man that you're massive on, and wasn't a trade, actually got delisted and then picked up. Sam Collins got better at his second club and he's better at the Suns than when he was at the Dockers.
Yeah, much better. Best and fairest winger. Probably should have been All-Australian, in my opinion. I know it's a bit controversial, but I think he should have been the All-Australian fullback this year. But no, yeah, completely agree.
Back to the Imar Insurance open line. Jack wants to chat about the Swans. Good afternoon.
G'day, fellas. I kind of got like a two-parted question here. So first one, obviously the Swans are targeting a ruckman. Who are the main rucks that we're going after? And the second part, probably more towards Cal. Lloyd Meek of the Fremantle Dockers, 22 years old. He's going to be behind Sean Darcy and Rory Lobb. How's he developing and is he an option?
Yeah, look, I think as for the ruckman that Sydney's going for, I mean, we know that they've obviously asked Port Adelaide potentially for a ruckman in return for earlier if he is to move clubs. Whether or not that's Peter Laddams is another question. It's my understanding he wants to stay at Port Adelaide and Port Adelaide wants him to stay as well. So probably can't see that one happening. Sydney's ruck situation is really interesting. Lloyd Meek, could he be a potential option? There was a few whispers that he might have been on the move last year, obviously stayed at Freo. Cal, do you know much about Lloyd?
Well, he came through as a pretty big body player, clearly, but not just the ruckman who would take some time to develop. He clearly had a frame on him before he actually got into the system. But as the caller said, 22 years old and 203 centimetres and has now got an apprenticeship under his belt. Not sure there's huge interest out there for him at this stage, but he's done a fair time serving as a backup now, so maybe it would be someone worth a look at, but clearly hasn't broken through for a debut yet, which would say that he's maybe a little bit further behind in his development.
The Ruckman are a big watch going into this period because, as I speak to clubs right now, they're a bit worried about the lack of depth in that second and third ruck options at a lot of clubs. So maybe clubs will back themselves to find something out of the rough.
And it's actually interesting, a few clubs that I've spoken to have suggested that they may go into next year with two out-and-out ruckmen on their list. Obviously, Brisbane's one club that might have to do that. We've spoken about if they have to go in with purely Oscar McInerney and Archie Smith. Carlton's another that might have to if they go in purely with De Koning and Pitney. So there's a few really interesting watches in terms of ruck situations at clubs, because tell you what, you're leaving yourself short if you're going in with two, I think, and one goes down early in the season. You don't want to be playing a forward or a backman in the ruck for long periods, I don't think.
I think Richmond's having a look as well with Ivan Soldo to miss all of next season. They're looking for something else alongside Toby Nankervis and Callum Coleman-Jones, who will miss the first couple of games next year. And the other watch is Hawthorn. They had a look at Braden Pruce before, went to the Melbourne before he announced he wanted to join Greater Western Sydney. So a couple of other clubs looking for ruckman. Just one more call on the IMR Insurance open line. Dylan wants to chat about the Bombers. Good afternoon.
Hi, boys. How you going?
Well, thanks.
That's good. Just firstly to say I love the podcast, so keep it going, guys.
Thank you.
And just quickly, just a two-part question. Firstly, what would the imminent departures of Adam Saad and obviously Connor McKenna, there's obviously a need for, you know, running halfback. So do you think Essendon need to target someone like an Alex Witherden or Logan Markov? And then lastly, what would it take to get the Josh Dunkley deal done for Essendon?
It's a very good question. Cal, Riley Bonner has been linked to the Essendon Footy Club. Where do you see their halfbacks situated for next season?
He's more of a line-breaking kicker than some of the other guys mentioned there, whereas I guess Oleg Markov is a line-breaking runner with his speed. But he looks headed to the Suns. A decision on him would probably come dependent on list sizes a little bit with what the Suns do, but they've certainly shown their interest and are keen to get him to the club if they can. Alex Witherden, yeah, I mean, the Bombers would be a pretty good fit, I think. They ended up choosing a few years ago in the draft. They had the choice of Alex Witherden and Jordan Ridley. They chose Jordan Ridley with their pick, and then the next pick, Alex Witherden joined the Lions. You know what a good player Alex Witherden's been over a couple of years. Fell out of that Brisbane side this year, but Jordan Ridley clearly coming of age over 2020. Yeah, I think that's something and an area that they should look at, but I think the midfield clearly has been an area that they've probably, I don't know, they haven't left it behind in previous years, but they haven't had the same sort of focus as they might have had on other parts of the ground throughout the draft. So I think that's the area that they should be focusing on. Josh Dunkley is such an interesting one, guys, isn't it? Because they are in a different spot. The Bulldogs is what they'd want to come in. And if they did eventually get to the point of saying, OK, let's listen to what the Bombers might deal in a trade, and Josh actually chose to go to the Bombers despite a two-year deal still to run on his contract, what would the Bulldogs actually want, given they've got Jamara Ugle-Hagan coming through the draft and they're going to have to move out their first pick anyway because of that? So that's a slightly different case for them to try and accrue something back. And they probably have to be looking at a player at that point. But the Bombers clearly aren't going to be wanting to give away a player to get a good player. So, yeah, some interesting dynamics going on at play there with that trade discussion.
Well, let's stick with that right now. All thanks to Australian Made for the smart play. Look for the logo. Be sure it's Aussie. The question we've got today, how does Essendon get the Dogs talking for Josh Dunkley? Cal makes a great point with the picks for the Dogs. There's no point in them going to the draft with these first picks because they'll just get consumed and absorbed when they go to match the bid for Jamara Ugle-Hagan. Anyone, Riley, at the Dogs, at the Bombers, who could be on the table that would interest the Dogs? Because as Cal's saying, it's hard to see them sort of entertaining too many picks. They're going to be after players.
I think trades are fun because of the hypotheticals, but there's no way this deal gets done. I just can't see it happening because of the fact that, as Cal mentioned there, any picks they have are going to get absorbed for an early bid for Jamara Ugle-Hagan. Essendon's in a really strange position where it can't, at the moment, trade its first-round pick anyway. Yep. So, because of the amount of picks they've used in the past or given up in the past, there's no players that they're really going to want to relinquish. There's no players at the Bombers that I think would immediately walk into that Western Bulldog side and make a massive difference in terms of difference compared to what Josh Dunkley would make. The Bulldogs don't want to let Josh Dunkley go. He's got 2 years left on his contract. I just don't see how they can get the Dogs talking on this deal. I can't imagine a situation where Essendon can satisfy the Western Bulldogs' desires for Josh Dunkley, given they're so steadfast in the fact they don't want him to leave.
Cal, is there anyone at Essendon that could potentially be thrown on the table for this? I know this guy doesn't hold the greatest currency right now, but I look at someone like Michael Hurley, who has been so loyal to the Essendon Footy Club. The Dogs came and asked the question a couple of seasons ago. He decided to stay at Tullamarine. They're in need of some key support down back. Is he one that could potentially be thrown into this conversation?
Well, they, as you mentioned, Mitch, they did have an interest in him, a very strong interest a couple of years ago when he was weighing up his future following his 2016 ban. But he obviously sided with the Bombers and ended up sticking with them. Look, they just don't have many players that are in that ballpark that, you know, might be willing to move on, who are, have fallen out of favour, who are at the level that would might maybe appease the Bulldogs. I mean, clearly the Dogs would love Sam Draper, I reckon, but they're not going to be moving him through. The midfield options of, you know, Zach Merritt, he's got a year to go on his contract. They're not going to be moving someone like him on. They've just re-signed Ridley, McGrath, Langford. They're not going to be pushing them out. Darcy Parrish has got a year to go on his contract that was a top five pick. Aaron Francis is a player who has undoubted talent, but is contracted for another couple of years and probably hasn't sort of reached the heights that he would have been hoping for as a top 10 pick as yet. So, no, there's limited options there, Mitch. There's no doubt about that.
That's the latest on the Josh Dunkley scenario. All thanks to Australian Made. It's never been more important to buy Australian than right now.
Jake Stringer? I doubt it.
Hearing good reports actually about Jake Stringer and how hard he's attacking his fitness over this summer. So that's good. One to watch before the players get rolled out, Riley, heading back into their preseason.
No, completely agree. Yeah, it's going to be tough. I just can't see how it gets done. I want to ask you a question though, Micho. Yep. Adam Kelly, very interesting this morning on Trade Radio in regards to the Brad Crouch situation. If the Crows do match a bid for Brad Crouch, what gets that done?
Before we answer that question, here's Adam Kelly this morning speaking with Matthew Lloyd and Kane Corns.
Yeah, we certainly are. We're obviously hopeful that the compensation would be resulting in pick two, and it's really only under those circumstances that we'll not consider matching and looking to force a trade or retain Brad's services. You know, fortunately, in this situation, yeah, Brad's been fairly open about his love of Adelaide and of the footy club, so we don't think it'd be a scenario where the player would not be wanting to come back to the club. So, yeah, we'd certainly look to match if it's not resulting in pick two.
Really interesting comments there from the Crows this morning. It's the strongest they've been on the fact they'll match and potentially have him back through the doors at the Crows. Simply, they just want better than the end of first round for Brad Crouch. So on Friday, we're expecting the Saints to put their bid in for Brad Crouch, or whenever that comes in the next week from when free agency opens. The Crows will have an indication as to where the compensation will sit. So if they expect it to be after pick two, yeah, Brad free, go and head to the Saints. You've got our best wishes. But if they've got the indication, the Crows, that it's going to be an end of first round pick, then as Adam Kelly's telling us, they're going to match it. And they just want more than that pick 19 or 20, which could end up being 23, 24 when other compensations get pushed back in.
So is it just a matter of pick 15 gets it done?
Well, yeah, I think the Crows would have to accept that or something else with maybe Luke Dunstan or something else thrown in, because they just want better than an end of first round. They're gonna do their best, but pick 15 is much better than pick 19 or 20 right now for Brad Crouch. Have you got a stance on this one, Cal, given what the Saints could potentially else put into this deal if they don't get that pick two?
My stance would just be really interested in what the St Kilda stance would be on this one. They've targeted Brad Crouch as a free agent. Does their interest wane on the basis that they'd have to give up a first round pick to actually get it? Is this the way they actually targeted this approach and wanted to get a midfielder of his ilk? Did they want to do it via the free agency pathway? Clearly they did. Would they be as keen and still as keen to get him across the board if they had to move their first round pick? That's maybe up for debate. So that's the interesting part for me, I think, in terms of where this one sits. If it was a direct trade, if Brad Crouch was a year earlier or a year younger and hadn't quite reached free agency, then pick 15 would be about right, I think, in my mind. So that's worth taking into consideration. But the reality is, under the rules, he's a free agent. So it'd be interesting to know if the Saints sort of interest in him is dependent on whether they get him for free or if they have to move picks or players out to get him across the line.
We've debated this on the podcast before, I think, and off air plenty of times, just what the value of a draft pick is in terms of free agency. And I mean, does St Kilda offer $100,000 a year more in the contract because as a free agent, then you don't have to give up pick 15.
Yep.
So is that $100,000 worth pick 15, for example? So we've debated that plenty of times, and that's a great point that Cal raises, that maybe Brad Crouch is worth the contract St Kilda's offering him based on the fact that you don't have to give up pick 15. But is he worth the contract that you're offering him as well as pick 15? Is that another question? And does St Kilda then have to revisit its interest in Brad Crouch and whether or not it is as red hot on him as we think? I mean, I'm not suggesting they wouldn't be, and I'm not suggesting that they aren't, because listening to James Gallagher speak earlier in the week, Brad Crouch seems like a player that they clearly rate highly. But it is an interesting debate, and one that you can probably put on plenty of free agency moves going forward as well.
And if the Brad Crouch deal gets matched, then do the Saints have a look and say, well, hang on, we rate Adam Treloar more than Brad Crouch, and pick 15 might get it done for Collingwood, because it's as much about Collingwood parting with salary cap room than it is bringing a pick in for them. I don't see that happening. I think they'll commit to the player, but it's just an interesting point that we did raise yesterday, and something else for them to consider. Just before we hit a break, a couple other names of players who got better at their second clubs. Mitch Robinson got better when he went from Carlton to Brisbane. Both Josh Kennedys. Obviously, the Carlton-Josh Kennedy moved to West Coast as part of that deal for Chris Judd, and he's become a superstar at the Eagles. And the Josh Kennedy becoming a premiership player from Hawthorn to Sydney.
Ben Jacobs?
Yep.
Got better when he went to North. Really important as a tagger in those two prelim years for the Kangaroos.
And now, obviously, delisted from the Roos, given the struggles he's had with getting on the park. Jared Witts has gone from Collingwood as a fringe ruckman to now a co-captain and got a five-year deal. And Basha Hooley, from Richmond to Essendon, played, I think, 26 games over 4 years, and now a triple premiership player at Richmond, unlucky not to be a dual Norm Smith medalist, and tore his calf in a grand final and was able to win a flag. We'll get some more names after the break. You're with the AFL Exchange here on Trade Radio. Give us a call as well, 1300 23 55 48.
A trade news update for Beaumont Tiles. Save at Beaumont's Mega Floor Tile event ends soon.
Well, the freshest name we can put officially on the table right now is Jack Higgins. Cal Toomey's been telling us for a number of weeks he was gettable. Looks like now he's played his last game for Richmond and he's on the move. So a big watch now heading into the start of trade period next Wednesday. What happens with Jack Higgins? That's the latest in news. All thanks to Beaumont Tiles. Save at Beaumont's Mega Floor Tile event ends soon. Riley, we're getting a bit of love for our question on who says no. Orazio Fantasia to Port Adelaide in return for pick 26. Who says no?
Yeah, we put this one on our Instagram account at AFL Exchange. Give it a follow. Plenty of good stuff and plenty of useless stuff on there as well. Port Adelaide 43%, Essendon 57%. So the majority of our listeners think that Essendon would be the side to say no if it's Orazio Fantasia for pick 26. Now, Callum, you wrote a very interesting piece last night as part of AFL.com.au's trade wrap on this year's pre-agents, basically asking who will be the next Dylan Scheel, who, of course, moved clubs a year before he became a free agent, so GWS could cash in on his trade value. Who do you think, and how many of this year's pre-agents will move clubs?
Well, Orazio Fantasia will at least be one. He'll go to Port Adelaide. Luke Dunstan is on the market, so he could be two. Alia is being targeted by Port Adelaide, so there could be three. Look, it's an interesting situation because it's a tactic that's being used by managers, by players, by clubs to either ship out players a year before they hit free agency for better trade offers or to get players bigger contracts by threatening to move and then, you know, remaining at the club. It's a tactic that Brad Crouch tried last year as a pre-agent. Didn't come off for him. But there's been others who have been raised, Mitch. Trent Dumont wasn't happy with the way things went at North this year and did attract some interest, but he'll stay, Mitch, because that has been an interesting one that has been floating around. Seb Ross's name has been floated by other clubs, given he's on a big contract next year, upwards of $650,000 in the final year if his deal. The three Richmond players will be big re-signings next year. David Asprey, Camden McIntosh and Nick Foston. And the big free agent for next year already looms is Zach Merritt, who last week I had a chat with, and he said he will be at the Bombers in 2021, and I asked him, will there be an intention to sign a long-term deal pretty swiftly into that year? And he said, I'm not thinking about that. So that'll be one to watch throughout next year, I imagine.
Zach's just taking a breather before he gets back into pre-season for next year. Just one guy you mentioned, Camden McIntosh. He was on the table 12 months ago, and I think there was a little bit of interest from back in WA. It was definitely gettable. And now Kelly turns around and is a top five in the best and fairest and a dual premiership player. It's a phenomenal turnaround.
It is a phenomenal turnaround. There is a period when you look at what Richmond's done over the past 3 years where you think, which depth players are they going to lose and how much will it hurt them? And we've seen that across the past couple of seasons, how much will they manage to overcome or get better? But they just keep finding players. And McIntosh's career maybe wasn't on the brink at any point, guys, but it was at the point where maybe we thought we'd seen his best, but what a remarkable turnaround for him. So, yeah, he'll hit free agency next year and certainly be a player who other clubs will be looking at. I mean, he's a hard-working wingman, midfielder who can run up and down the ground and just keeps going and going and playing and playing. So, look, the big free agents next year, Rolls, of course, are Patrick Cripps, who opened talks with Carlton earlier this year. That sort of didn't progress too much, and then COVID-19 and the contract freeze happened, so that sort of put them to be a bit of a pause. And then Dogs have been chatting to Marcus Bontempelli as well on an extension, but you'd expect both of those skippers at their respective clubs to stay.
All right, some big names to watch heading into free agency next year, of course, if they don't move as pre-agents this year. Now, just as we wrap up, some other names of players who got better at their second club: Steph Martin from Melbourne to Brisbane. Tom Harley, don't forget, started his career in South Australia and then became a premiership captain at Geelong. Josh Gibson, Sean Burgoyne, Tim Membry, Ted Richards. Cal, you're a big fan of Ted Richards' work when he went from Essendon to Sydney. Hayden Crozier, there's a Dockers theme here.
Scotty Thompson.
Yes.
Went from Melbourne to Adelaide. David Hale.
Yep.
I know he kicked 20 goals in a game or whatever it was down at Cardinia Park that time, but then went to Hawthorn, won a couple of flags.
Devon Smith going from the Giants to the Bombers. Charlie Cameron still kicked 5 in a prelim for the Crows, but he's become an out-and-out star of the competition. Charlie Dixon, Matt DeBoer, Ben McAvoy, Liam Jones. And as Ash said on Twitter, basically anyone that departs the Demons, unfortunately.
That's
so
harsh. That's
Scott,
harsh.
Scott Thompson, you mentioned. I forgot that he played for the Demons and went to the Crows.
Have you mentioned Sean Grigg?
No.
He got better at...
Sean Grigg's had more mentions on this show this week than he did in the grand final broadcast last week.
No. He's a you'd love to talk about him.
Yes. All right. This is the AFL Exchange. All thanks to Ream. Accept nothing less than Australia's best install Ream. And for Repco, for our expert car advice you can rely on, visit repcoservice.com. We'll see you tomorrow. Check out our podcast. Sam Edmund and Adam Cooney up next here on Trade Radio.